So good that you could be with us today. We are in a four-part series, and today is part three, and we're going through the values, the core values of Vibe. And so we've done vision, we did integrity last week, and today we're going to do B for boldness. And I'm going to pray before we get started and ask the Lord to just move. So Jesus, we pray today for your favor and blessing, and we pray, Holy Spirit, come and fire us up. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about boldness today. And boldness is at the very core of what we believe. It's at the very core of all that God's called us to. He says, it's almost like, you know, God gave us a phone call one day and he said, okay, I want you to be people that have vision, people that have integrity, people that have boldness, and people that have evangelism. And if we can stay true to our core values, we're going to stay true to our mission. And we're going to see what God's desire and design has been for our people, for us as a people, and it come through us into generation after generation. See, I've got to let you into a secret. We are not here just for ourselves. We are here for our kids and our grandkids. And when we're moving successfully, we say, okay, where are the generations below us? Where are the generations that are coming through? Because we are building for the future, not just for the here and now. And so we're a bold people. And that's why we're going to talk about it today, because God has put it into our DNA from the beginning. And if you're new to Vibe, then get ready. God's going to make you more bold. And maybe you already are bold because God's aligning similar hearts with similar thoughts and with similar things. But if you're not, don't worry, because you're going to be on a journey of getting more boldness. And I'll say it right from the outset. You cannot be truly bold for God without God. It's the Spirit of God that enables us. It is the goodness of God. And so why are we bold? Well, fundamentally, we're bold because we serve a big God. We serve a big God. And so out of that, it gives us our boldness, because we're like, well, nothing can stop. If he's for me, who can be against me? I'm more than a conqueror. I can overcome all things because I can do all things because of Christ who strengthens me. We just go after verse after verse after verse. He is with me. He promises to never leave me nor forsake me. I mean, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We are a bold people because of our bold God and because of our big God. And so today we're talking about being bold for God. And there's two key things we've got to think about. And we've mentioned the first one is that you can't be bold without God. And the second one is, it's that we hold this position of boldness by our faith. So I know sometimes people are bold because of their personality, because of the way they've trained themselves, just because of who they are. But I want to tell you today that fundamentally our boldness comes from our new relationship in Christ. And then from that point, we have a new position. And it's that position held by faith as sons and daughters of the living God that it suddenly makes us bold. You see, whenever I hang around someone who's more powerful than me, more sophisticated, more intelligent than me, no matter what issue would come along, I feel strong, I feel bold, because I know I've got them. They're with me. And it's the same when it comes to the things of God. If we have him, we are bold. But the truth, the trick or where it starts to make sense is when we activate this thing by faith and we go, okay, I know what the word says. I am more than a conqueror. So before I even get out of bed, I've already knocked the enemy out because of Jesus. Amen? So praise the Lord. This is who we are. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, and the old is gone and the new is here. We're bold because of our new position in Christ. We are in Christ. And so now our minds are affected, our actions are affected, our words are affected, our identity is affected. See, boldness is an attitude of strong confidence in God because of our position. So we have this strong confidence in God. We have this strong confidence in God because we put our faith in God. And because of our new position, we're suddenly bold. I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at me. I'm going to be bold. And I want to encourage us as people of Vibe, we are bold. And so we are going to step out, even though there is fear. Can I tell you that boldness doesn't really beat fear? It just overcomes it. I mean, boldness doesn't take away fear. Love triumphs over fear every single time. But boldness in God allows us to say, okay, I'm not going to be disabled by this. I'm not going to be overcome by this. I'm going to move forward anyway because of the Spirit of God that is in me. And I love the Spirit of God. You see, in spite of fear, we are bold. Here's what it says in Romans 8:15. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Then verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit so that we are God's children. There's a few things we've got to see here. At the start is we no longer live in fear because of our adoption to sonship. And now we're God's children. And so if we are God's children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Wow. Whenever you get a grasp of this, and I'm believing today by the Holy Spirit, you're getting a feel for this, you're getting a revelation of this, you're getting an overflow of this, then suddenly every step that you take, suddenly you're getting bolder and stronger. You see, boldness is one of these things that you just keep working at. You keep going out, and by the Spirit of God, you start to realize more and more what you have. It's like being given a precious gift, and you can't figure it out on the first day. You got to keep working on it, keep working on it. I remember years ago when I was younger getting Lego, and I loved getting the big Lego set, especially for Christmas. And I remember one time getting a harbor scene. You had the cruise, the ship, the cruise liner, or the shipping container, all the shipping containers, all the big boat stuff. You had the crane, you had the loading dock, you had everything. It took me days to build it, and I loved it. But I got it all in one go. I got the gift all in one go. I had a glimpse of what it might look like from the front of the box, but it took me day after day after day of building. And suddenly I got bolder and stronger and better, and I got what I was fully intended, and I was able to see it in full force and then play with it for weeks and months and even years. I'm telling you, the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to you. But day after day, you're going to uncover just how good it is. By faith, day after day, as you step out, you're going to get bolder and stronger and more equipped in the things of God. And so we say this, come on, we are bold people in the things of God, because no matter what we face, he has already made provision. Amen. So here's four areas that God has promised to make us bold. He's going to make us bold in prayer. I mean, I think this is so crucial, because if we don't know how to talk to God, then we're not going to receive the things that God has for us. Because he says you have not because you ask not. And so if we want a good gift, we need to know what to ask for. And so he makes us bold in our prayers. Or as Hebrews says, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Because God knows that sometimes we have to remind ourselves, not sometimes, but maybe every time, we've got to remind ourselves, come on, I'm worthy to come before his throne. I can come boldly before his throne of grace because of what the Holy One has done in me. He has made me holy. He has covered me by his precious blood. My sins are forgiven. I am bold before him. And if I'm bold before him, then watch out, world, because I am becoming unstoppable in the things of God. We are bold people. We're bold for the end, because death has no sting for me. It holds no sting for me. Death holds no threat because of the goodness of God and because of what he's given me. I'm bold. And so I'm bold in life. I'm bold as I approach God. I'm bold in my prayer life. I'm bold in my worship. I'm bold in my reading, because I know that God is for me and he is for me. And that makes all the difference. I'm bold at the end of life. I'm bold during life. And I want to encourage you today that God has made us bold for this moment and season. And so we have what we need to overcome. So don't look at everything else that's going around, but let's get locked into the word. Let's get locked onto the price. For the prize before him, he endured the cross. He was bold because of the prize that he had. So it did not matter what was going on around him, how he was feeling, his emotions, his feelings, his physical body that was aching. He said, no, for the joy set before me, I'm bold. I'll keep going forward because of what God has said. And so we can be bold today. And I want to make this, I guess, put this marker in just from the outset, is that boldness could be compared to arrogance. But can I tell you just the difference between boldness and arrogance in just a simple way? Arrogance says, I trust in me. So I can do this thing. You know, I've revised. I've made 1,000 sales. I've got money. I've got a lot of trust in myself. And so it can lead to arrogance. But if you've ever been there before, or you've ever met someone like that, it can seem really good, but eventually it starts to crumble because we're not quite good enough. But boldness is having your trust in God. So I don't have to have this all worked out. I don't have to be the best person. I don't have to have the most abilities. I don't have to be the longest serving Christian. I have my trust in him, and that makes all the difference. And it's incredible, because now suddenly I don't need the ego. I don't need the arrogance. I can actually be humble. I can actually be gentle. I can actually be honest and go, I'm not sure what to do here. And yet I can be bold in the things of God, because the Spirit of God is in me and my trust is in him, and it's rock solid. You see, Acts chapter 2, is we learn about the Holy Spirit coming upon the people. And the first characteristic that we learn about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is the Holy Spirit came upon them and he made them bold for evangelism. Isn't it incredible that the first characteristic of when the Holy Spirit came upon the people in Acts chapter 2 was boldness? Because God knows full well that the biggest thing that's trying to take Christians out, and men and women, and every person on this planet, is fear. To control us, to disable us, to alarm us, to cause us to have threat and worry and anxiety and panic attacks, and just not feel good about ourselves and put ourselves down and condemn ourselves and have depression and have suicidal thoughts. And the list just keeps going on. And it's all rooted in fear. But the way to beat fear is boldness, rooted firmly in his love, rooted firmly in the position that we have in Christ, and we express it through our boldness. And we say, hey, I don't care what the enemy does to me. I don't care what he throws at me. I will surely overcome. You can't beat me. You can't beat me, because I have God on my side. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says this: they spoke the word with boldness. In times of fear, we're called to be bold. In the early church, the disciples, Peter and John, they're simply trying to share their faith. They're trying to tell people about the way. They're trying to tell people about Jesus and what the wonderful things that he's done in their lives. And yet people can't handle it. The religious leaders are afraid, because they might lose some control. They may not be able to control the masses. People might get just too liberated, to find too much freedom, that terrible word, which we love, because freedom and boldness go hand in hand. And it says this in verse 31, they spoke the word with boldness. Come on, this is what God gives us. He gives us a bold spirit so we can speak the word in every season. And so even under threat of persecution and death, Peter and John just spoke the word. And this is what God's calling us to do in our lives. Come on, let's speak the word. And I want to encourage you. Maybe I could give you a word today for your heart. I've heard it before many times. I'm scared to share my faith. I'm anxious to share my faith. I don't want to put my boss off. I don't want to put this person off. I tell you this, let's stop worrying about what might happen, and let's start being bold with the things of God. Amen. Because this word and these words and the word of our heart and the testimony that we have in God saves souls from eternity in hell. Come on, that's the truth of it. And it allows people to find this new self in Christ, this new creation in Christ. And suddenly they become bold and they experience his love and they can live this abundant life today. So we're called to be bold. Boldness from God. Here's what it does. It compels us forward regardless of the circumstances. It causes us to share our faith regardless of fear. This is what I love about boldness. It causes us to believe and to keep praying no matter the report, because no matter where we find ourselves, we're bold. Boldness doesn't remove fear, but it beats it. And part of the process is meeting our fear head on and saying, even though, I'm going to keep bold. And if we don't do this, then we know the alternative is that we'll do well for a season. We'll go well for a bit. We'll put our trust in this thing and that thing. And then we'll find ourselves, I can't be bold any longer. But when we know that boldness comes from the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that will fill us, and then we will build with it. And I really want to encourage you with that, because God's going to give you this gift. He's going to put boldness inside of you. But it's only as we start to build with it that we're going to be able to begin to move forward in the things of God. I mean, any present that I give to you, if you never start to use it, what good is it? And sometimes we get gifts at Christmas, and come on, let's just for a moment think about this. We get a gift at Christmas, and it's a nice thing, but it's not very practical. It's not very usable. I'm talking about God gives us gifts that are getting better every single day. God gives us gifts that are usable, and they're a good resource for us. They're good for our soul. They're good for the world. And we actually become better people because of it. And the more that we start to use it, the more that we start to use the gift, the better we become. This is the kind of gifts that God gives us. Not novelty gifts, not gifts that suddenly run out or just used for a season or are really not that practical. They're just a bit of fun. No, I'm talking about resource that will transform your life and the lives around you. The boldness of God is what we need, and we got to build with it. And so my boldness, and I want to say this, is directly linked to my partnerships. If I'm around the right people, it's going to lead me into greater boldness. You know, the story of Vibe is that all along the way, God would align us with certain people, whether it be people in church that God would send us as wonderful gifts, or he would align us with pastors and ministries and people that would just suddenly come into our lives that would be what we needed to help us to overcome in the next season. And guess what they would give us? A greater boldness. They would spur us on, either by their story of what they had done, and we said, okay, maybe we could do that. Or they would spur us on and say, okay, we don't know, we've never been there before, but we just say, go for it. We say yes. Or maybe they would give us a word like, you've got this. Or maybe they would say, hey, look what we've done and here's what we did. And they would give us practical steps. When we align ourselves with the right partnerships, watch how our boldness begins to grow. And suddenly we start to take back ground from the enemy at a rate that he cannot keep up with. And the kingdom of heaven just starts to rejoice. And the angels start to praise because they see how much damage you're doing to the kingdom of darkness because of your boldness. I want to look at a story today that we all know, I guess, super well. If you don't, then get ready for a real treat. But it's the story of David and Goliath. And David is God's man, and Goliath is just, come on, he's super tall. He's a giant. Did you know he's 9'9"? Wow, that's really tall. Just imagine the ceilings in most homes are about 8.5 feet. He couldn't stand upright in your house. So unless you've got super high ceilings or you've got a higher area, he couldn't come into your home without hunching over, like literally at least a good foot over. So this is how big Goliath was. And David was just a young boy. In fact, he's in his middle teens, probably 15, 16, 17, something around that. And he's going to challenge Goliath. Not because he thinks he's a better warrior than Goliath, not because he thinks that he's better than Goliath, not because he thinks he's got more experience than Goliath, but because he knows he serves a God that Goliath does not serve. And the battle is not his, but the battle is God's. And that gives him boldness. So David, in 1 Samuel 17, we read about the story of David. And we're going to jump into a few different verses because we don't have time to read the whole thing. But I encourage you, read the story. Read a few chapters around it and be blown away afresh. Because maybe the last time you heard this story was in Sunday school. And I'm going to tell you that the story still has lots for us to learn today. So the problem was he had a 9'9" giant who was strong, battle ready, and intimidating. And all he spouted was fear and lies. And the people were just eating it for breakfast, left, right, and center. You had the Philistines and you had the Israelites. The Philistines were his people. The Israelites were God's people. But he just spied it off day after day after day. In fact, it says for 40 days, he kept coming out before the Israelite army and said, hey, who's going to fight me? Come on, which one of you losers is going to try today? Come on, step out before me. Give me an easy fight. Come on, step out and I'll beat you. I'll kill you. I'll sort you out. And they were literally in fear and trembling. And I think there's an important lesson for us today to know if we surround ourselves in the wrong environment or we get ourselves around the wrong voices, even though you may be God's chosen people, even though you're positioned and seated in the heavenly places with Christ, they will begin to intimidate you and talk against you. And before you know it, they will rob you of your identity. And so I want to speak life and speak and say, hey, where's your destiny? Where's your life? What's the voices that are being spoken into your life? Because if you don't get the right voices, you won't get to the right destiny. And your destiny is so important because it's there to impact the kingdom of heaven. It's there to see lives transformed because you've been anointed and appointed for this time. And you've got boldness inside of you. You maybe just have to find it. And so everyone was terrified. And yet, here's my question, and I'll give you the end of the story. He wins. David goes up against Goliath and he beats him. But how does a shepherd boy become so certain that he can beat Goliath? That's the journey I want to go on, just for a few moments. How does a shepherd boy become so certain that he goes before his brothers and before King Saul and he says, I can do it. I can do it because I've done it before with a lion and a bear. I can do it. What gives him so much confidence? Point number one is this. David was not a soldier, but a worshiper. And this is so important. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 says this. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Guys, how many battles are we losing because we're using the wrong weapons? This is so important. How many battles are we losing because we're using the wrong weapons? David decided this is not going to be a battle that's won with weapons. This is going to be a battle won with worship. Now, ultimately, he takes him out with a stone and a sling, but it makes no sense that you beat a 9-foot-9-inch giant, battle hardened, battle ready. He had a bronze helmet. He had a bronze shield. He had a bronze breastplate, bronze shoes. He had bronze everything. He was dressed to the nines in fighting military outfits. And yet when it came down to it, a tiny stone decided to take out Goliath all the way. And guys, I want to tell you, you're going to think all sorts of different things based on what you've heard, based on the research, based on it can only happen this way. No one, I mean, there was no one that day thought that a teenage boy was going to come and find 5 stones in a brook and come with a sling and take out the Philistine giant. If they'd have knew that, they would have had him beat 40 days ago. Guys, we've got to realize that the weapons of our warfare are not the normal everyday things. They're the things of God. And we've got to hear what God says. And David says, but I've worshipped him and I know him. And I know that the way to take this guy out is different than you think. And so he went with confidence. He says, let no one lose heart. Isn't that interesting? Let no one lose heart. On the account of this Philistine, your servant will go and fight him. He knew he was in for a fight. Verse 33, it says, you're not able to go against this Philistine and fight him, Saul said. You're only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth. Saul didn't get it. He thought it was soldier against soldier. He didn't realize that it was the Lord that fights for him. Guys, we need to get this. We can go up against any enemy. We have no reason to be intimidated. We have no reason to fear because Jesus has already won and we are more than conquerors. And if we're in Christ, then we have the Spirit of Christ and we will surely overcome. So therefore, let's be bold. Let's be bold and go remind the enemy of his fate and go say, be quiet. And if you don't be quiet, I'll knock you out and I'll get a stone or I'll get a worship song or I'll get a word from God and I will take you out because worship beats that worry and worship beats that warrior and worship's going to set my people free. And that's exactly what happened. Point number two, he wasn't trusting in himself or an army. He was only trusting in God. 1 Samuel 17, 37 says this, the Lord who rescues me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hands of the Philistines. Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. At this point, Saul is like, okay, David, I get it. I get it. At this point, we'll do whatever you say because we are on our knees. And it gets to the point. Can you imagine, like, what gets a king to a point where he's willing to send a young teenage boy out? Because he shared a couple of stories. Because they were so broken down. They were so intimidated. I don't think Saul in his right mind in his best state would have ever sent David out to fight Goliath. But he's been so broken. He's been so crushed. He's been so intimidated. He's so desperate that he says, okay, you just go and do whatever you say you can do now because we have no other hope. So you've spoken a tiny bit of hope. Okay, go and do whatever God's called you to do. My boldness can't be in my skills or abilities because when I meet someone more powerful than me, more skilled than me, what am I going to do? We're either going to go, uh-oh, or we're going to realize my boldness is in my position in Christ. And it's not a competition, and you're not a threat. And if you're an enemy, well, then God will surely overcome. But if you're not, then we'll partner together and we will overcome the enemy because we are in Christ. It's not about my skills and abilities, and they are a blessing and they will come. And it's funny how as you get more bold in the things of God, you become more brave and you start to learn more things. And as you go forward in life, you become better equipped and more skillful. But don't rely on your skills and abilities alone. Let the foundation be your boldness and your position in Christ. Amen. The key to David overcoming was his testimony of God's faithfulness. See, discouragement is going to kill your boldness if we're not careful. Discouragement wants to kill boldness. Discouragement wants to take out Christians all over the place. Discouragement. But if we can keep ourselves encouraged with the testimonies, the lion and the bear, come on, I know I can do this, then this is not my fight, but it's God's. Number three, David's weapons were different. See, Saul said, take my armor. Remember that in the story? Saul says, take my armor. You got to take my armor. And so he puts it all over David, and David puts it all on. And I'm sure even for a moment, David's like, oh, this is so cool. And then he tries to walk and he realizes, I can't use this. It wasn't made for me. I'm not used to this. I don't know this. This is not familiar to me. This might be your thing, and this might be your ideas, and they may be your plans, but I can't do them. And I feel like in a way, God's saying, my methods and ideas, you can't have somebody else's. What's God saying to you? Take my sword, take my plans. No, I need to get my own sword. I need to get my own plans. Verse 39 says this, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. David could only trust in the way God led him. It wasn't going to work being led by anybody else's plans or ideas. And we need to have good friends around us, and they need to give us wise counsel. But God's the only one that should lead you. The Holy Spirit is the only one that should guide you. Amen? That's what God said. And so my question, maybe at the end of this, this portion or the end of the scripture, is so they took it off him, is I want to say this. What do you need to take off that's maybe holding you back from the boldness and the plans and the purposes that God's got? What's the things that maybe you put on because somebody else said they were good ideas, and so you put them on, and they maybe haven't worked, but you haven't realized, and you're beginning to wonder, what do I do next? Can I say, why not start by taking that old stuff off? Somebody else's methods, somebody else's plans don't necessarily fit you. If they fit, be blessed, go for it. But if they don't fit, don't force it. Just say, okay, maybe God's got something else for me. And I'd say this just as a church planter, and we're coming into year number 7. Isn't it incredible? We're going to celebrate 7 years in April of planting Vibe Church. We were Vibe Youth from 2006, and then God progressed us. But the one thing I learned is that I can gain experience from other leaders. I can listen to other leaders. I can even read their books. But the moment that I start to try to do it their way is the moment I start to fail. Now, I can learn from their principles, but their methods and how they do it have to be contextualized to me. They have to work through my talents. You know what I learned? I can take it all, but I got to get on my knees before God in a metaphorical sense. Sometimes it was on my knees. Sometimes it was just in my heart, in my head. But I had to get before God, and I had to take all that wisdom, and I had to take all those principles, and I had to take all those ideas. And I said, God, what do you say? And suddenly he would just formulate the whole thing, and he would give us a clear plan. Maybe that's what you need to do. But to do that, you're going to have to take some things off. A sling and a stone beat giants, but it was never about his weapons. It was about his worship. I don't think you could have read any book at that time if there was books on how to win wars, or like Kindle versions or websites how to win wars. There wouldn't have been one that suggested get stones from a brook and grab a sling and take out a 9-foot-9-inch giant. There wouldn't have been one. But yet for David, that's what he was used to. And can I tell you this? That you don't need to adjust your skills and abilities in the sense of to do the thing that God's called you to. If he's called you to it, what you've already got right now, he will expand and grow. But they're the very things that you need to do to take on the enemy. They're the very things that you need for the battle. Very rarely do you ever see God calling someone and then drastically doing a 180 on everything they've ever done before. No, most of the time, it's every single thing that you've learned has got you to this moment. And so I tell you again, encouragement, don't change what got you there. Just grow and learn more and strive more to become better in that thing. But unless God says to change, don't change. Because the mistake can be you get to the place where you feel God's called you to, and then you start to change everything about you. No, that graciousness, that humbleness, that gentleness, that spirit that you have that got you here is still a good one that's going to keep you and multiply. You don't need to get all tough and rough and like, you got to do this because of the size of the scale of things. No, keep the gracious heart. Keep the humble spirit. The principles are good. The methods might change slightly, but you have what it takes. It was 5 stones. He only needed 1, and 1 sling took out the enemy. Point number 4, the enemy is no match for God. Verse 50, it says, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. You see, we are bold people because we serve an unstoppable God. And there's something about boldness. When it gets in your spirit, you start to change everything about you. You start to act differently. I want to remind you again of Acts chapter 4. We began there. We're going to finish there. Verse 39, verse 31 we read earlier, but verse 29, it says this, now Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. The disciples are under threat. It's not just threat of we're going to throw you out or we're going to tell you off. And it wasn't even beaten. It was death. It was imprisonment and death. And yet the early church, because of the boldness of the Spirit on their life, said, God, we're not asking for an easy ride here. We're not asking for an alternative. We're not asking for it to be easier. None of those things. Look what they said. We pray that they will speak your word with great boldness. In other words, strengthen them, God. We know this is your word. We know what we're called to do. We're to share the word with boldness. We've been anointed for this. The Holy Spirit is upon us for this. We're not trying to get out of this. We simply say, Lord, strengthen them. Make them even stronger to face the battles ahead. And guys, this is what true boldness looks like. We face the dangers. We face the trials. We face the fears. And we say, God, help me to surely overcome because you are bigger and better than all of this. So allow the boldness of God to capture your heart and grab your mind and say, okay, I'm going bigger. I'm not going back. I'm going bigger because I know that God's called me to go forward with boldness. And so God, stretch me and give me more strength. Don't make it easier. Just give me more strength to overcome because I know this is the way and God is calling you forward. See, God, boldness always moves forward. It doesn't stay too long. It doesn't wait too long. It doesn't get stuck and it doesn't get trapped. It moves. And I want to say to you, it's time to move. What's the thing that God's called you to? Come on, there's things in all of our hearts that we've been procrastinating, worrying about, putting on the back burner, second guessing ourselves, third guessing ourselves, asking people, getting prophetic words. And suddenly 5 years have went by, 10 years have went by. I say, why not take another step today with confidence and boldness? Because you know that God is with you. Come on, we move forward. And I say this as an I word, it's time to move. Amen. It is time to move. It's time to be bold and bolder. And here's what I want to say. Bolder in our worship, bolder in our praise, bolder in our prayers, bolder in our giving, bolder in our time, bolder in our love, bolder in our grace, bolder in our mercy, and bolder in our dancing. And I could keep going. But what I mean, I want to pray bigger prayers to see more people healed. If you prayed before that someone would feel good and know the presence of God, next time pray that God's going to transform them. Next time pray that the Spirit of God would just hit them and knock them clean out and they would just be overcome and transformed by the power and the presence of God. Come on, in your giving, how do I be bolder? Give more than before. How to be bolder in my worship? Worship more than before. How to be bolder in my dancing? Start to dance. Maybe you never did before. How do I be bolder in my time? Give more time to God. Bolder in my love? Hug somebody you'd never hug before. Go love somebody you'd never do. We're stepping forward. We're going forward. We're bolder in the things of God. Fear wants us to retreat. Fear wants us to stay the same. It wants us to just keep going backwards and just hold on what you have. Bolder says, I'm going over the top. I'm going above, I'm moving, I'm not staying still, I'm going forward. Why? Ephesians 6:12, and we're going to finish with 2 more verses, and then we're done. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Guys, we are the answer to the world's needs. We have it because of the Holy Spirit. We are the hope of the world. We are the light of the world. And we are here to boldly declare that Jesus still saves people's lives. We are here to boldly declare that you and me are going to follow after the things of God. And our families are going to go from strength to strength. And our kids are going to do greater things than us. And our worship's going to get bolder. And our giving's going to get bolder. And our lives are going to get bolder. And our prayer time's going to get bolder. And our reading's going to get bolder. And every single thing you can think of is just going to start to get bolder because of the Spirit of God upon us. Come on, I want to pray and activate this word over your heart today in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I thank you today for everyone that's listening. I pray activation. I pray boldness. Lord, I pray even spiritually right now, we just feel the presence and the power of God just resting on our shoulders and resting on our heads, resting on our minds, Lord. Penetrate in our hearts. We are a bold people and we are going forward in the things of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray for anybody that's not encountered you, that has not said yes to you. I pray right now in Jesus' name that we'd say yes to Jesus and make a bold decision in faith that your life is being given to Christ. Lord, I pray as we do that, that Jesus, you would fill us, you would save us, you would make us that new creation that you promised. And our lives would never be the same. I pray, Holy Spirit, more of you in Jesus' name. Amen.